We'll probably be leaving in about, less than a week, I think. And she'll be on her way to Hawaii. What else? Oh, I had some mail from Robbie. He is back home now. He was on a special mission around the world or something. And I certainly hope we can make some kind of arrangements to see one another when I get home. This would be very nice. He's doing fine. Everything's going well. He has put in for Vietnam. I don't know whether he'll get that or not. In fact, quite a few of the men. Jack, remember Jack Calloway? I understand Jack has assigned himself to Vietnam in June or July. See, he does the assigning of the artillery officers, and he wants to go. Well, most of the military career men wish to get to Vietnam, to get in on the action. I mean, that's their whole life, so I can understand that. Oh, it's freezing in this room. I have the windows closed, but they're still flapping in the breeze. I have the electric blanket on, and I'm sitting on my bed. Without the electric blanket, I would die. That will stay here until the day I leave. I'm not packing that. So, again, this will be the last tape on this machine. I do have a little portable tape recorder. Now, I don't know yet, Duchess, whether I'll hold that out. I guess maybe I will. Therefore, I'll be able to tape to you later in another few days, unless I find that I can't manage it with my luggage. It's just a small one. But I thought I might take that with me when I went to Tokyo or Hawaii so that I could tape to you as I go along. But I'll probably be home before most of the tapes arrive. What else? Oh, I can't think offhand, Duchess. My mind's going click, 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 click. But just know that I am well and I'm slowly getting there. And please, don't be alarmed by all these boxes that are coming. I'm concerned about that because I don't want you to think, oh my God. But do prepare to have complete chaos for at least a couple of weeks while I'm home, because I know that I can't unpack and repack everything in a matter of days. But it'll be a change for you, Duchess. You'll have complete confusion, which is about par for the course when I'm around. But I'll try to do a good job and a quick job of dispersing with the stuff wherever it's going, even if it's only the attic. Let's see. Well, I haven't got much more on this tape. Please tell my mother, my brother, and all my friends that I do wish them a Happy New Year. I did not send any Christmas cards. I have not written anyone. I am only keeping myself alive and keeping myself well and keeping myself busy. I don't seem to have time for a great deal more. But hopefully I'll get a chance to see everyone and sit down and talk instead of writing letters when I get home. This is running out. Tell Aunt Lizzie hi, too. Take care. Bye-bye, Duchess. Anyway, I had to laugh because I keep reminding myself that all my stereo is gone. It has been shipped, and therefore I can't communicate. Of course, the old-fashioned system of writing a letter is still available to me. But I have gotten away from writing so much for so long that unless I can make a tape, I just don't feel I should sit down and write a letter. That's old-fashioned by now. Anyway, the latest news on my departing is as follows. Joan and I will leave Korea on the 25th of January, and we shall go to Tokyo and leave Tokyo on the night of the 28th, and then we arrive in Hawaii. It will still be the 28th because we cross that international dateline and we go back, I don't know, 12 hours or something, and we stay in Hawaii until the 1st of February. Now, the flight leaving here and leaving Korea is confirmed already as far as the flights and the times. The only thing that has not been 100% confirmed is the leaving. Oops, this thing is acting up. I think I have to quit bouncing it on my knee. The leaving of Hawaii. We're waiting for the February flight schedule, but we won't leave before the 1st of February. So it's pretty much what I have told you before, except that we are getting an extra day in Tokyo and another extra day in Hawaii. Let me see if I have this on right. Just a second. It seems to be bouncing around a little bit, but I'll have to play it back and see if I can hear it. It's, oops, I think I have to sneeze. Oh, mercy. If it sounds like I have a cold, I don't, Duchess. I did have a bad cold, but today I had a meeting this afternoon for about 3.5 hours, and I talked almost continuously, so my voice is a little hoarse, but I don't have a cold. As a matter of fact, I feel very good, health-wise, and 10,000 things have happened to me since I last spoke with you, which I know is, oh, I guess it's about 10 days ago. I'm going to play this back, see if this is recording properly. Okay, here we go. I think it's recording well enough to be heard. Although this is such a tiny machine and it has so few gadgets that it's awkward for me after being used to the big equipment. Anyhow, I know I should have taped to you several times since the last tape because so many things go by and so many things have happened and many I'm sure I'll forget to mention. I did get all my household goods shipped out of here on the 4th. The 4th? Yeah. The 3rd, I guess that's just the 3rd. Whatever Friday was. I can't see my calendar from here. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. The 3rd, yeah. And the room is barren. I mean, I had so much stuff in here that it looks like I'm a hobo now, just shacking up for one night because there's nothing in here but 2 footlockers and 2 pieces of luggage. I hope the stuff will arrive when I get home. I don't think it will arrive before, but if it does, Duchess, and if you get notified that the whole baggage is there in wherever it is, Fort Dix or Fort Monmouth or whatever, don't pick it up. Just wait until I get home. Oh, by the way, there were 14 boxes. Some were quite large, Duchess, very big. Most of it, well, all of it, I packed myself. I mean, I hand-packed everything, and then the movers just crated the pieces into larger boxes. But I felt that I can do just as well and perhaps even better than the packers do. They are not noted for their gentleness as far as wrapping things or handling things. So if anything is broken, I guess it'll be my fault. But I took a chance. Now I have to pack these 2 remaining footlockers, which are almost packed already, with the things that I will be sending from here to Vietnam. But I'll not send them until after I get to Vietnam, and Cree will forward them to me. And that saves the government the expense of shipping them all the way to the States just to ship them back to Vietnam. Plus that, I have to put everything else in my suitcases, which I'm sure I won't manage. See, I'm hand-carrying my summer uniforms and some summer clothes. One, so I can stop in Hawaii and have some clothes. 2, in case, for some reason, all my whole baggage doesn't get home by the time I have to leave in March, I can still go to Vietnam and manage for a couple of weeks because I'll have all my things with me, or enough anyway, to hold me over. This tape is evidently much smaller than most of them I have been sending because I can see I'm almost out of one side and I haven't even begun to speak. Let's see, I'll briefly go over some of the highlights. Oh God, there have been so many. The most recent one was Saturday night. Flo Chang, a woman who works in the craft shop here at RC1, gave a dinner for Joan and myself. And it was a lovely dinner down in Seoul in the home of Carl Miller, who is an American who has been living over here for about 15 years. And I think he's in the banking business of Korea. I also learned just recently that he's a queer, but some say yes, some say no. I have never met him, but Flo has access to his home and all his servants who cooked us a lovely, lovely dinner. And just Augie and I, Joan, Bill Sullivan and his wife Helen, and Flo had dinner. We could have had more guests. The food was enough for an army, just everything. And by special request, Flo had shrimp, salmon, and bulgogi for me, in addition to all the famous Korean dishes, most of which I don't particularly enjoy. Some I can eat and some I do like, but on the whole, it's just a little bit too spicy for me. Believe it or not, I think this is already running out. I'll have to flip it over. It's a scoshy tape. Choke 'em. Those are the words for small or little. I know what else I have to tell you. Last week, Joan and I went down to Seoul for the whole day. We had the day off. And I got my hair cut. In fact, I had a permanent because I figured I'll be coming home soon. Oops, I think this is running out about now, Duchess. Mercy. And I did some shopping for Vicky. I think I told you I was going to pick up some jewelry that Vicky had stolen when she went back to the States, and I'm trying to replace it for her. Okay, here we go. I'm 5'2". Anyway, we had a whole day in Seoul, and I did, as I said, I went to the beauty parlor, had my hair done, and I ordered some of this jewelry for Vicky, and we checked on our port call to find out when we, oops, no, that's not for me, it's the telephone ringing. And it was a very good day. Joan picked up, she's still buying souvenirs. She is being shipped, her whole baggage is being shipped tomorrow, I think, or the day after. And between us, boy, we had an awful lot of stuff. Anyhow, let's see. I'm trying to think of some of the highlights. Meanwhile, this is going around and around. This dinner Saturday night was very, very nice, Duchess, that Flo arranged for us in Seoul. After dinner, we went to a nightclub for an hour or so, and then we went back to Bill's apartment. See, Helen lives in Seoul with another girl. They share, let's see, five-room apartment, and when their husbands can get down on weekends to stay with them, they do so. Her husband is in 7th Division, this girl Judy, and Dick or Steve or something his name is. Anyway, that was a very pleasant change of pace, and we all had a good time. We all enjoyed it. Isn't this terrible? I'm a complete blank all the way before this weekend. And I've had some days off. Coming up this Saturday is the CG's mess. This, of course, as you know, Commanding General's mess. As a matter of fact, it's a special dinner in honor of Joan and I and Betty Lawrence, who is also going home. Betty has been here, oh, I don't know, 15 years or something. She goes home the 1st of February, and which is just a few days after Joan and I leave. So this Saturday night should be quite interesting. Also, unfortunately, I know about this. It's supposed to be a surprise party this Friday night, the 17th. The girls, I think Sandy and Cree, are giving us a surprise party here in the Hooch. And Augie is supposed to take Joan and I over to his compound for dinner while they make arrangements. But the reason we know about it is several people, they evidently have sent out invitations, and half a dozen people called me and asked me what time they should come, and so on and so forth. And I guess they weren't told it was supposed to be a secret, so they didn't know, and they called me at the club and said, you know, when we got an invitation, what's going on Friday night? And of course I had to reply, gee, I don't know. I don't know of anything going on, and if something is going on, I'm not sure I should know about it. So unfortunately, the secret is out. But it's pretty hard to run something and totally surprise someone. So this will be a large weekend, as I say, Friday, a surprise party, and Saturday, the CG's mess. And just think, Duchess, today is the 13th, and I'll be out of here in 11 days in a wake-up. And I'm anxious to go. I really am. particularly when you get so short. I can't concentrate on my work. I keep thinking of how nice it would be to lie on the beach at Waikiki. there were a couple of important things I was going to tell you. One, I don't know if I mentioned before or not, but if I get around to it, I'm going to write the bank a note telling them not to send me any more mail or bank statements, which is about all I get from them. This would be, I would say, after this week, after the 18th or the 20th at the latest. Don't mail anything to me. In fact, that goes for your mail, too. Anybody who might be mailing me any letters or whatnot, I'll get them because the girls will forward them to me. But anything after the 20th stands a good possibility of me not getting it. What else? Let me see if I can't concentrate. Also, Duchess, on the 21st, this coming, when is it, next week, I guess? This coming next week, right. Ruth is having a luncheon for me on the 21st. We have a club directors meeting, and it's going to be at RC4. Carolyn is going to be responsible for the luncheon, which is great because Carolyn is an excellent cook, hostess, what have you. And it's in my honor, which I think is very, very nice. Ruth usually has a little luncheon for those that are departing. And so, in fact, I'm counting on stopping, I should say, work somewhere around, I don't think I'll go in after the 21st. Now, I don't know. I may have to, but I have to clear down in Seoul, and I have to do a few other things. So hopefully I'll have the last 3 or 4 days off. So it's just this week that I have to get through. Of course, I have a lot to do. I have things that must be done before I leave, and I am slowly getting to them, but very slowly. I'm still trying to educate, train, indoctrinate Sandy and John to the necessary paperwork that has to be done, work that they have never been responsible for. And this is a full-time job because it takes all my energies just to keep that place together. Heat is a big problem, and latrines and plumbing are another. So it keeps me busy, and that's good. It's just that, oh boy, at 27 months is a long time. I don't regret any of it being here, but it's a nice feeling to know you're leaving and going to what we call the world, which is anything other than Korea to most people who have been here in Korea. Oh, and by the way, Duchess, I will be landing at Newark Airport, which surprised me. But when I got my TR, which is a transportation request, I could have gone probably into Philadelphia or Newark, but I am not familiar with traveling out of Philadelphia, and I don't know what time I'll arrive, but they just put me into Newark, and I didn't say anything. There was nothing about this overflying your town or whatnot. This is the story they gave me the last time. I think you may recall me mentioning it. Anyway, whenever I get to the West Coast, I have a ticket, or what is equal to a ticket, to take me from San Francisco to Newark. So, and I figured that would be easier for people to meet me if they wanted to, or for me to manage myself to get to your house, or if it's convenient, perhaps Don could pick me up or Ann could even pick me up. I don't know. It will depend on the flight, what day it is, and what time I arrive. But at least I know where I am when I get to Newark. So I was somewhat pleased about that. Boy, Duchess, this is running out, and I haven't even begun to tell you all the interesting things happening, but I'll try and do better about making a tape. I keep thinking, oh, well, why bother? I'll be home pretty soon. But Duchess, just, you know I will be home, give or take a day, somewhere around the 1st or the 2nd or the very, very latest, the 3rd of February. And I don't want to do anything but rest. I just want to put my feet up and spend a few days doing absolutely nothing. I hope you're well. Take care of yourself. Tell everyone I said hi. And thank you very much for all the mail. I have received it all and appreciate it very much. Duchess, bye-bye. Hello, my Duchess. Today is the 21st of January, 69. And here I am speaking to you on my handy-dandy little portable tape recorder. It has been, as usual, very busy and very hectic since last time I spoke with you. However, most of these activities have been social functions that have either been for me or something I have thoroughly enjoyed. Last Friday, the girls here, Sandy and Mary, had a surprise party for Betty Lawrence, who is also leaving a few days after Joan and I do, and Joan and I. It was not a surprise. We did know about it ahead of time, unfortunately, but it was a very nice party here in the BWQ, in the Hooch. A number of people came over, friends. Most of them were officers. The general could not make it that night. A couple of his people from his staff, did come. And we had a number of the girls from the division all came down. So it was a very pleasant party. That was Friday. Then Saturday, there was the CG's mess. And of course, that's a formal affair. All very nice. And the general did point out right after dinner the fact that Betty, Joan, and I were leaving the division, and he had considered us as part of his mess there at Camp Howes, which is the division headquarters. And it was very, very delightful evening. Once again, they had the Thai bamboo band. And if you've never seen these people play before or hear them play, it's most interesting. I had seen them a number of times because they perform in our service clubs. During the dinner, they had these this band playing, and they have bamboo sticks that have holes in them, Duchess, and they just shake them, and they're all geared to a certain note, and each man has one in each hand. Sometimes it's not just one pole, it may be three or four poles attached to give it a special sound, and so it's very interesting to watch. And later in the evening, we danced after dinner, and again, as I said, it was very, very nice, very lovely. And I wore my Chinese outfit, the one that is over 11 years of age. It has been altered all around the world. You have had your turn in altering it also, the red and black one. It fits like skin on bologna. However, I felt very well in it, and I, from the comments, I evidently looked the part, so to speak. That was Saturday, because I'm just giving you a very brief run-through on these things. On Sunday afternoon, after that Saturday night, as a matter of fact, I stopped prior to coming home. It was, I guess it was about 12:30. I stopped over at the officers' club at Camp Beard to see Augie, because they had a sit-down dinner for him. He is supposed to be going to division this week as the G3 by the general's request. He has done very well as battalion commander, and it's General Lynch who is requesting him. However, there seems to be some delay on it for one reason or another. Anyway, I stopped and had a nightcap over there. And then Sunday morning, I went up with Joan to have breakfast at the officer's mess. And then at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, I was going to work, but for about an hour or two, there was a small party here in the so-called officer's lounge that we have at RC1. Some of the EM on the compound wanted to have a party, say goodbye, which I thought was very, very nice. Some of the enlisted men. And of course, Ruth was there, and Betty, and all the girls again, or at least the girls from this compound. So it was very, very nice, a nice gesture, very much appreciated. And then later Sunday afternoon, I goofed off a little bit again and went to the movie. And then I finally went to work in the evening. So I can't say that was a hard day. Then, let's see, Monday, which was yesterday, funny thing, yesterday was Monday, I worked all day. In fact, I worked a couple hours overtime because I'm trying to clear up and finish all my paperwork, and Ruth keeps finding new things to do. Not that they're things I should do, but I can do them quicker than Sandy can at this point, like request a work order for the latrines, putting a partition up, a door, and fixing all the commodes, and those latrines are going to drive me crazy. I have spent more time in the male latrine because nothing operates properly in there. The urinals leak, the toilets leak, the faucet leaks, the hand dryer doesn't work. It's a constant headache to me. But anyway, I did all the jobs that had to be done yesterday, and then Augie came over last night and just spent a quiet evening finishing off some of the liquor. In fact, I have, I must have a good one full bottle of scotch, about two halves, I guess, really. And then today, I was on the job before 8 this morning, again, finishing up some paperwork. Then about 8:30, we all went to a club directors meeting over at RC4. And again, this was in my honor, not the meeting, but the luncheon that took place for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, I guess. And it was a beautiful luncheon. Ruth gave that to me, and all the girls were there from the service clubs. We had shrimp cocktails and delicious salad and superb steaks, steaks that you rarely see over here. And Carolyn and Cree had done the shopping, and baked potatoes, strawberries or peaches for dessert. It was really a treat for everyone. And during the luncheon, Ruth read a letter of appreciation that she has written to me and for me, and also as a matter of official record for my 201 folder. And Ruth was quite emotional while reading it. She really is very upset that I am going, because she doesn't have anyone other than Carolyn who has any experience. All the other girls are 5, and Carolyn and I are the only 9s, and Ruth, of course, is an 11. So she has been upset periodically, off and on. Every time she thinks about me leaving, she gets quite, as I say, emotional, to the point where she's in tears. But in addition to that, Ruth gave me a very lovely, compact case of lipsticks, 4 different shades, and also perfume. Let me check the name on that. I have it right here. I think it's called Estee Lauder. I think it's her favorite. It is very lovely. I have some on, and I like it, and I thought that was an extremely nice gesture. In addition to that, Carolyn and Cree gave me a brass plate with my name on it. Well, it's an ashtray, and in the center, it has this little brass plaque that says Army U.S. Service Club. I'm sitting looking at it. I have it on my bed. I only came home about an hour ago. It's quite heavy, but it's small enough, and I think I can manage. I'm just debating whether I should bring that home or send it to Vietnam, so I'll have there. I don't know. Anyway, the luncheon, as I said, was a wonderful gift, and the letter of appreciation I do appreciate very much. In fact, I have made out like a bandit, truth be known, Duchess. Ruth cannot keep a secret. She's worse than I am. And it was supposed to be a secret, but I also have a letter of accommodation coming from the General Cagwin, commanding general of this division, one that Ruth wrote up the draft for. In fact, I have a copy of the draft. He has not presented it to me yet. I don't know if he will, or if they'll save that for my arrival in Vietnam. I don't know. But in addition to that, Ruth tried to put me in for a Sustained Superior Award, which is the highest she can give me. However, because I am not in grade, a GS-9, 1 year, she cannot do this. So the next highest she could give me would be a Certificate of Achievement. And she has put me in for this, and I will not get that one until I arrive in Vietnam. It has to be processed. So I would say I made out like a bandit with a letter of appreciation, a letter of accommodation, and a certificate of achievement. After you say thank you, there's very little you can say. I find it very difficult to thank Ruth. I mean, I have, but she has made such a struggle to reward me in whatever way possible. And I appreciate her efforts so much, because she has a very difficult job here. And I have worked hard for her. I have worked my butt off most of the time to do things the way she would like them done, or to do them the way I want them done. And she has been aware of this, and so I guess in a sense it balances out. She does not have to do all these things. She doesn't do all of them for all the girls. So I feel very fortunate. One, because she is still here and doing this for me. I mean, I'm sure others would not take the time and effort, because it is a lot of paperwork, and everything has to be processed and shuffled from one department to the other before it's approved and then forwarded to 8th Army, and then to Washington, or wherever it goes, I don't know. So, I guess you'd say I'm pretty lucky, huh? In fact, I haven't even read my letter over yet, but the one I got today was, as I said, only the letter of appreciation. It's not only the, but in comparison to the others, it's less official. Anyway, that very briefly gives you the activities of the past weekend. I had hoped, I have another thing. I think I'll wait till the other side to get started on that. I had hoped this would be my last day working, because I have much to do, my personal things, tomorrow. And then Thursday I have to go to Seoul and clear finance and the bank and a few places. And Friday I was planning to take my footlockers, not footlockers, probably a box, over to the transportation office. That would consist of my uniforms and my electric blanket and my parker, things like that I need every day, and get that shipped home. Ruth wanted me to attend a meeting Friday down in Seoul, but I just, you know, it is my day off anyway, Friday, and it's the day before I leave, because Saturday morning we leave here, and so I turn over. Okay, now we're working on side two. So anyway, this Friday I asked Ruth if it would be all right if I didn't go down this Friday to this club director's meeting, because it's just the last day before I leave, and I really don't want to attend another meeting, because what can I do if I do go? And I was just surprised, although not completely, but I really didn't think she would ask me to attend, but I told her it was just too little time to accomplish everything, so I'm not going down, I hope. Wait till I tell you this other story that I heard today that made me quite upset. I had a call from Vera Vincent, who, as you know, is our very big honcho in 8th Army service clubs, and I also had a call from CPO. From Seoul. Remember I told you I had this job offer for Camp Zama in Japan, and I had replied that I could not come when they wanted me to in November or December, but that I would consider coming at the end of January, providing I went home first and then let me come back. Well, the reply was that they could not wait that long, and so I was not going to be considered for the job. And that's what CPO told me. Well, it wasn't until today that I found out by Miss Vincent Checkin. Vera had heard when she was in Japan, she went home for a few weeks and on her way back, stopping off in Japan, that they were anticipating me coming to Japan. Well, she asked me, and I said, no, Vera, they couldn't wait till the end of January, and they weren't going to approve my leave home and all this stuff. So that deal was closed months ago. Well, she checked further, and it turned out that the people in Japan had decided to go along with my demands and were anticipating me arriving, asked me, rather, to stop off a day or so in Japan before going home to discuss this job position. But what happened was they sent the Twix to CPO in Seoul, but it never got there. It got held up or fouled up or lost or something at 8th Army Communications Center. So CPO here claims they never got a copy of it. Now, maybe they did and somebody misfiled it or whatever. So consequently, I did not know that they had offered me that position. In other words, they replied and said, we will accept under, you know, her terms and look forward to her stopping off a day before going home to see us in Japan. So they wanted to know what flight I was coming in on. And here I had not even heard of it, so I couldn't respond. Or anyway, CPO called, and they were very apologetic, said we'd change all your orders. I mean, I have my orders, Duchess, made out, and of course I have all my winter stuff on its way home, with the exception of one or two dresses I have here that are winter, and I have all my summer stuff packed in foot lockers going to Vietnam that are still here, but I mean, it's just the wrong clothing. That's minor, I know, but still, it made me so mad that they could foul up your career or rearrange your entire life because of a missing Twix. In addition to that, Vera called and said, Ann, I do think that this job was a 9, the same as I am now, Duchess. But she said that they are probably grooming you for the position of Dee Beckman. Now, this woman, Dee Beckman, is sort of a tradition over here. She's been in the Orient about 20 years. And Vera told me that she is a 10 or an 11. But see, there are only two clubs in the Orient that have more than a 9 rating. One is Moyer Service Club here in Yongsan, Seoul, Korea, and the other one is this Camp Zama. Now, the only other positions, 11s, are Ruth's position, which is a glorified typist work thing, and I wouldn't want that, Duchess. I wouldn't want to be out of service clubs. So that this would have made a greater temptation for me, because I could have been a 10, possibly 11, at least a 10, maybe in the near future, but still working in a service club, because the service club at Camp Zama is, I think, 3 or 4 stories high. As I say, it's a very plush place. It's a R&R center. R&R, Duchess, is rest and recuperation, or relaxation and recuperation, something like that. Anyway, it's R&R center for the men in Vietnam. So this just, you know, Vera was trying to unofficially tell me what the possibilities could be in the future. And she said, Ann, I think Dee Beckman has finally decided to go home. And she says they have not been able to fill that position with any qualified person up until now. And she said it might be worth your while. Well, of course, there's no guarantee on that anyway, Duchess, but it just made me mad because I had a matter of minutes to make up my mind whether or not I wanted to cancel everything I had already processed for Vietnam and change everything. Of course, CPO said they would take care of everything, call back everything, and do all the paperwork and get me out of here still on time. Well, I don't know. And so I told them no, that I still was not interested. But when I go through Japan on the way home, I will stop or at least call them and tell them that it was not my fault that they were not informed. I had not been notified of the offer. Because I don't want them thinking I gave my word to come and then later changed my mind. But how do you like that for a mess? It just irks me, the inefficiency that is apparent every day. And for me, this was a major decision. And I don't know, honestly, whether I would have decided to go there or not, but if they did agree completely to my request, there is a good possibility I would have gone there for a year, particularly if I thought there was a possibility of me going to a 10 or an 11 and still remaining in service clubs. That is a rare offer that you get, because as I say, there are two in the entire Far East, and I would have had a... So anyway, that just made my day complete. But that's the way it goes. I just told them to leave me alone and I'll take my tour in Vietnam. I don't think I'll regret it, Duchess, but I sure wish they'd get the scoop right to you the first time. What else? Oh, I meant to tell you the last tape. I mean, I did a funny thing a couple of weeks ago. I was sleeping, and I turned over in my sleep and somehow pulled the ligaments in my right ankle. And in fact, this was on the third, I guess, the day after whatever it was, the packing. Wasn't I pack on the third? I guess, yeah. I guess the night of the third. Anyway, for about a week, oh, I guess up until just a couple of days ago, I had it taped up. The first few days, I had it taped up with tape. The doctor taped it. They sent an ambulance over to take me to the dispensary because I couldn't walk on it. I wasn't sick or anything. I just couldn't touch the floor with my ankle. But the doctor said, "Ann, you've got a backward twist here," because it was all swollen and everything. And he said, "How did you do it?" I said, "Oh, no trouble at all. I just turned over in my sleep, that's all." Of course, I thought somebody had taken my leg and pulled it. It was quite painful. And I have tripped a couple of times on it, and it's healed now. I don't wear the bandage, but up until just a couple of days ago, I was still wearing an ACE bandage. I had to take the tape off because the tape was killing me at night. It was too tight. The doctor made it very tight, and then I got it wet in the shower, and it tightened so much that it was unbearable, so I finally tore the tape off myself, and then I taped it up with an ACE bandage myself. And as I say, it's fine now. I can walk up. In fact, I walked on it the very same day. I told the doctor, you have to tape it so I can walk on it. And he taped it three different times, such as putting the pressure on at different angles. And when I left his office, I was walking on my foot. So that was good. It was stiff, you know, my foot was up stiff, but I could still walk with it. I have to, because I had so many things to do. But anyhow, I thought that was the weirdest thing I had ever heard of. And so did everybody else who asked me what was wrong with my foot. And I said, "You won't believe it, but I did it all by myself in bed." Just turned over. Had I injured it earlier in the day, I could have understood that a little more easily, because I had fallen off the dresser here trying to get the drapes down, and I fell, and the dresser fell, and everything went flying off the dresser. I wasn't hurt, and later the curtains fell on my head and all this stuff, and I wasn't hurt or scratched or anything. But when I went to bed, I managed to pull all the ligaments out of my right ankle. So anyhow, what's next? I received your letter today, just this evening, which is so nice. I come home and there was a letter from you. It probably will be the last letter I get from you before I leave. I will make another tape after this and tell you when I'll be leaving Hawaii. I'm pretty sure it's the first. I'm going to try and find out Thursday when I go down to Seoul. And if I can manage this little handy-dandy tape recorder in my suitcase, I can make you a tape from Japan and Hawaii. that cough I have is the leftovers from, I'm sure it was a case of pneumonia, but I ignored it. I had I think I had the same cough that I had back a few months. Well, again, we were without heat in the club, and in fact, we were without heat here in the billet for a couple of days, and it just takes one head washing or something, and you have pneumonia. I've been working in my parka again a lot last week. This week, the last two or three days, the temperatures here have been in the high 40s and 50s, which is unbelievable. It's quite warm. Most comfortable. So it's crazy weather. The cold is practically gone now. All I have is this cough that comes about when I'm talking too much or smoking too much. There were so many things. I'm rushing this, Duchess, I know, but there isn't a lot left, and it seems to me I wanted to mention other things. If you get a chance, would you call the bank in Toms River and tell them not to forward any more mail or bank statements here? Send them to your address. Anything that does come here, I'm sure Ruth will send home to me, forward to me. That's no problem, but I just assume they get notified. I meant to write them a note, and I have not. So you'll get this tape quicker than I will get a note off to them, I'm sure. I'm very happy you're taking a week's vacation in February. That's what you said in this letter I received tonight. That's great. I don't know what we do. It doesn't matter. I won't worry about it, but at least we'll have some time, and possibly I can rent a car, and we can get to see a few people. Hopefully, the whole baggage will have arrived by then. I'm never going to get packed out of here, Duchess. I'm still in the process of packing things, and I'll go through the whole thing tomorrow and see how much I can hand carry. This is going to run out in a matter of seconds. I'm well. I'm anxious to leave. I'm glad to have heard from you, and I'll talk to you again before I get home. Bye-bye, Duchess.